Hallelujah. Let's get into God's word. Say, this is God's word. I believe God's word. All right, let us pray. Father, we believe and receive wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you. We pray today that as we fellowship in your word reverentially, the lives of the hearers will be changed. Let these words be powerful words that will transcend today, tomorrow, many years after, that men will listen and hear these words and they'll be transmogrified. They'll be changed forever. They'll be set ablaze for you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we give you praise and we give you the glory in Jesus' mighty name. And the saints say, amen. All right. I'm starting off today at 11:49. Praise the Lord. And we are getting into the topic. This is part two, Navigated by God. I want to say something before I get into the teaching that's very, very important. The power of God is in his word. The direction of God is in his word. The correction of God is in his word, right? God has bound himself to his word. Praise the Lord, right? And so anywhere the teaching of God is, the power of God is there, anywhere. Amen. Praise the Lord. And like I want to reiterate what a particular disciple said to us during this week. She was confused about something and really didn't know what to do. And it really did not. It was an issue that was practical. And she was listening to the message. Someone say listening to the message. That's how it happened. That's how God operated. She was listening to the message. And when she told me what the issue was and how she got direction, you realize that the power of the Holy Ghost is real. It was a practical issue and she didn't know what to do and she has done something else. And while she was listening to the message, she said, and the Holy Ghost said, don't do this, do this. As she was listening to the word of God, right? As she was listening to the word of God, amen, praise the Lord. A lady was in a particular relationship. I'm just trying to show you the power that is in God's word so that you attend to it reverentially, amen. A lady was in a relationship as it were she ought not to have been into. But did she know? She did not know. We don't know, right? And as she was hearing the word, according to her testimony, she was playing the message, and she put the message on loud. It was loud, and she was in the bedroom, and I was preaching, and I was in that teaching talking about 2 Corinthians chapter 6. I just said, do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. What does light have to do with darkness? And she said she heard God's voice behind it. And that's how she knew that, oh, while this might look plain, this is not something I'm supposed to do. I am saying that to say, in the word of God, we even hear the voice of God. Can we get a believing amen? All right, we started in our topic, we started with navigated by God. Someone declare, I am navigated by God. Right? Navigation means that I am, God is the one that leads me. We started off last week in a scripture that you most likely like in Isaiah 48, verse 17. And I want us to go back there just for emphasis before we continue on the journey today. Amen. Praise the Lord. I think they've reduced my mic. I was liking the way I was sounding. I'm sounding very, very. All right, look at verse 17. Are you there? Isaiah 48, 17. Thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer. This here, he was talking to the Israelites. But we can infer from what he's saying about this God. Look at it. He said, the Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. Are you still here? I am the Lord thy God, which teacheth thee to profit. So in the leading of God is the profit of God. So in the leading of God is the profit of God. In the teaching of God is the profit of God. So you're correct. I am the Lord thy God, which teacheth thee to profit. So is God a teacher? Does he teach and you lose? His teaching is for profiting. It says, which leadeth thee by the way that thou shouldest go. So God is a leader. So the God that is a teacher is the God that is a leader. And the end result of his teaching and leading ministry is profit for you. Can we get a believing amen? And so having heard that, I would say God leads me. God teaches me. And now, he now shows us very, very clearly how God does this teaching. Verse 18. Oh, that thou hearkenest to my commandments. Are you there? If you would hearken to my commandments, he says, that then has thy peace been as a river. Are you seeing that? He says, if you hearken, meaning if you pay attention to what I'm saying, it will first affect your emotional states. The word of God's first location is actually your emotional state. Amen. He says, if you listen to me, my word is your therapy. He says, if you listen to me, my word will bring peace as a river. He says, when we find there is no peace like a river, that's just a simile to say a lot. When there is no peace, it's not because a lot of things is happening in your life. It is because this person is not hearkening. Amen. Church, amen. That's why he says he will keep them in perfect peace. It's not for everybody. Them who put their mind. So you serve God with your mind. Them who put their mind on him. So in our kingdom, while peace is a fruit of the Spirit, peace is a choice. How do we know you are making the choice for peace? Is that you follow his commandments. So a peaceful man is not one that doesn't make noise amongst us. A peaceful man is the man that follows his commandments. Hallelujah. And the end result of that man's life is profit. Praise the Lord. And God tells us in verse 21, I want you to be there, verse 21. He says, and they thirsted not when he led them. Meaning in the leading of God is the presence of God. Very important. In the leading of God is the presence of God. They thirsted not when he led them. What did he lead the Israelites through? He led them through the wilderness. In the wilderness, there is no tap. In the wilderness, there is no river. The logical mind will be thinking, where will we see water to drink? God is now saying, as long as I'm the one that leads you, you will not thirst. So the question with leading in this life is not any other thing than, did God lead you? Did God ask you? Because he says, when I led them, they thirsted not. I know there was no water in the wilderness, but I hit a rock and water came out. Why? I led them. Can we get a believing amen? Church, can we get a believing amen? This is quite interesting. Look at verse 22. There is no peace. You know, we've been talking about peace. And peace is associated with you hearkening to God's commandments. Then God says, there is no peace for the wicked. Who is the wicked man? So that you will not say I said you are wicked. Who is the wicked man? The man that does not hearken to the commandments of God will bring wickedness to the camp. Amen. Meaning that your disobedience to God's word not only affects you, it affects people around you. Praise the Lord. Church, praise the Lord. Amen. Now, I just tried my best to summarize some of the things we learned last week. And we're going again in another direction. Same thing, another direction. But we're going through another Ruth. We are going to be looking at a particular scripture. I'm taking my time so that you will understand. John chapter 10. John chapter 10, we are going to be looking at verse 11. Say, God is my leader. Very important. It starts off there. It says, I am the good shepherd. So God takes this leadership thing again in a symbolic way and now starts to talk about him as a shepherd. What makes a man qualified to call himself a shepherd? He must have sheep. Okay? He says, I am the... I want you to be there. We're in verse 11. I am the good shepherd. So does that mean they are bad shepherds? I am the good shepherd. What is the proof? Because when we talk about leading, why will I hand over my life to God? Is this smart? The Bible is telling you that the reason you'll be able to answer that question is that God is a good shepherd. How did he become a good shepherd? He's there. He gave his life for the sheep. So why would I be able to say, Lord, I'm handing my life over to you. Even if my friends are saying, that's stupid. How can you do that? How can you say, how can you be living this way? It is because the one leading my life gave his life for me. So the greatest proof, the greatest reason why you allow yourself to be led by God, it's not just because he is a good navigator and he has navigated before. Personally, he gave his life for you. Can we get a believing amen? He now says, look at verse 12. But the hireling, who is not the shepherd, whose own the shepherd is not, he sees the wolf and he runs away. Are you there? And he runs away. And the wolf catched them and scattered the sheep. Are you noticing that Jesus is posing himself as that man who stands to ensure that the wolf does not get his people? Praise the Lord. He says, verse 13, because I need to understand very clearly, before we talk about leading, the care of God for you. Except you know how much God cares for you, you would doubt his leading. You would question his leading. That's why he's saying, my leading, the reason that you should be bold enough is to realize that, see, when I saw sin that could destroy you, I didn't run. I came as a man. I died for your sins. I came out of the grave. I defeated sin through death. This is the grounds on which you should trust me. Hallelujah. He said, no other person can do this. He said, the reason that you are to rest in his love and leading, it is in verse 13. He says, in this place, they careth not for the sheep. Someone declared, God cares for me. Church, God cares for me. Come on, God cares for me. Come on, God cares for me. Very, very important. So the care of God that you see in that he died and was raised for you is the reason you are able to say, God, lead me. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Then God starts to describe his sheep. Who are his sheep? His sheep are those who have believed the gospel. Praise God. How many people here are Christians? You have believed the gospel. I don't want to assume. Amen. Praise God. You believe the gospel. So look at it there. He says in verse 14 again. So repetition is for emphasis. I am the good shepherd. And I know my sheep. And am known of mine. Praise the Lord. Okay. Praise the Lord. Does the Lord know you? Does the Lord know you? Do you know the Lord? You do. Sometimes, you might write it down, well, these teachings for the weeks to come, but sometimes we say we don't hear God, not because he's not speaking, but because we are too noisy. Amen. Not because, or we have, I might just say it, or we have predisposed mindsets already on what we want to do. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That's why sometimes the leading of God seems difficult. Because until you already made up your mind on what you will do. Right? So you are now making the leading of God. You are hoping the leading of God will agree with you. Praise God. And the funny thing about it is that the way God is, the leading of God will just step back. Praise the Lord. Church, praise the Lord. Because you will notice this with the children of Israel. God did not want them to have a king. That's why God
That's why we read the Bible. We pick up the nature of God. He didn't want them to have a king. Then they said, we will have a king like other nations. He told Samuel, go and anoint a king for them. Samuel was annoyed. He said, there's no need to be annoyed. They didn't reject you. They rejected me. So I'm saying in the leading of God, it's not that you cannot have desires. Don't get me wrong. In the leading of God, we are just saying you can be honest enough to say, Lord, this is what I want to do. But your way is the way. Can we get a believing amen? You know, let me give an example of what that looks like. Jesus, as a man, is on the cross. Like, before he gets to the cross, right, at this moment, is in agony, and he's crying, and he's praying. And what does he say? Lord, let this cup, what should he do? Pass over me. Is that where he ended? Nevertheless, not my will, but your, are we together? So we are not saying that you're a human being, you are intelligent, you have desires, you have things you want to do, but you are just saying that, Lord, I've chosen to submit to you. And in submitting to you, I know you care for me, right? You are not a wolf. You are not the hireling. You care for me. You walk with me. You do not leave me by myself. Praise the Lord. Church, praise the Lord. Hey, praise the Lord. We are in John chapter 10, right? I will be reading from verse 27. I was in verse 14, right? But I'm moving to verse 27 because of our time. It says in verse 27, he's not talking about you. God has spoken about himself. What did he call himself? Good shepherd. He's not about to talk about you. Verse 27, my sheep, what do they do? My sheep hear my voice. My sheep hear my voice. So there is an apparatus within the believer to hear. The first thing you tell a believer when he is born again is that you have ability to hear. It's just like with humanity. Do you all acknowledge and agree that when you were born, God gave you ears and you can hear? Praise the Lord. This is the difference. How many people today, wherever you hear your mother's voice or your father's voice, you would recognize it? Praise God. Either they are still present or they are past. If you heard your mom's voice or your dad's voice, you say, that is my dad. Praise God. In the midst of a lot of people talking, can you recognize your father or your mother's voice? Yes. The reason you are able to recognize your father and your mother's voice is at a time there was proximity to them. Praise the Lord. So as a believer, can you hear? Yes. Can you hear your father's voice? Yes. But the point is, the man who gets born again and does not practice, imagine, let me say it so that you understand it. Imagine a child is born, and that child is taken from the father and the mother on day two, and the child meets the father in 25 years' time. If the father is talking, will the child know the father? Will the child know the father's voice? The child doesn't know the father's voice because though he can hear, there was no proximity to the father that gave birth to him. Praise God. So my point to you is, you were, whether you believe it or you don't believe it, you were created with the ability to hear God. Your discerning of God gets better when you practice proximity. Praise God. Church, praise God. It's like people are not enjoying this. Is it making sense? How do you practice proximity? He told you in Isaiah 48, verse 17 and 18. Had ye hearkened to my commandments? How did you get to know daddy and mommy's voice? They were speaking. You were hearing. Then you knew. This thing is not particularly difficult. Amen. Church, amen. Yeah. Look at verse 27. So we are getting a step further. So how many people can hear all? How many people can hear God's voice? All. How then do I personally start discerning God's voice? It is the law of proximity.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It says in verse 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them. Look at it. And I know them, and they follow me. Tell your neighbor, this game is a game of following. It's a game of following, right? They hear my voice. They are saved. They follow me. The ones that followed, meaning the ones that believe the gospel and are born again, you, what does, we're in verse 28, and I give unto them, I'm in verse 28 now, I give unto them, how many people does God give eternal life to? All that follow him. Who are those who follow him? Those who hear the message of his death and his resurrection and believe. The moment they believe, they are called born again. They've changed parentage. He says, all of these people that followed me, meaning they followed, they were in darkness, they heard my call, and they followed. They followed, they became born again. The moment they become born again, there is something I have given to everyone that has believed. It's called eternal life. Someone say, I have eternal life. Look at my sheep. We're taking it slowly. Hear my voice. Come and say, I hear God's voice. Say, I heard God's voice. You know, you've heard God's voice before. And I'm not talking about how did you get saved? For you to be born again, you heard God's voice. So you heard God's voice, you believed, you got saved, you got the gift of eternal life. Praise God. Look at Romans 6:23. We're going to come back quickly. Romans 6:23. What did I get? What did I get when I got born again? Romans 6:23. Right? I got eternal life. Then what is eternal? Okay, look at 23. Are you in 23? The wages of sin is. Why did Jesus have to come and die? Why did Jesus? You know, I was watching a clip about students in the class who didn't know what the teacher was saying. Amen. And they, what is 5 + 5? Why did Jesus have to die? Because there was a penalty of death on every human being. How did the penalty come? It's in verse 23. It is the salary. It is the payment. The wages of sin is death. And you must remember this. I said it a lot of the times now. God is a just God. God didn't just say, yes, I know the wages of sin is death, but and I'm God. I can't do anything. So let's just forgive Ayola. No. God legally follows that same instruction and comes and pays the price for the death that Ayola was supposed to die. Can we get a believing amen? So Ayola owed something. What did she owe? She owed sin something. What did she owe sin? Debt. What does Jesus do? Jesus comes and pays what Ayola owes, called death. And what does Jesus do after that? Jesus gives Ayola life. This is the reason why. That's why. This is the reason why Ayola cannot die. Because the wages for our sin, and I'm here, the sin I'm talking about is spiritual death. The wages of that spiritual death, because, you know, is over. So when Ayola grows old, she's a mother, grandmother, great-grand, and she's, I'm done with all of this. I'm not doing nanny, I'm going 120 or whatever. She says, when she drops this body, Ayola does not cease to exist. She does not cease to exist because of something she has received called life. Not many people can boast like Ayola, not many. Because except you receive that life, you are dead. After this life, it's over. It is appointed to man. That is why we preach.
That's why we go out on Saturday. That's why compassion makes us pray. If men don't meet with life before they die physically, spiritual death, and it cannot be reversed. You go once and for all. It's appointed unto man once to die. The moment it's gone, it's gone. That's the reason we give our lives for this. That's why it makes sense. Hallelujah. But let us rejoice a little. Ayola has life. Can we get a believing amen? Hope you know Ayola is a type and shadow of believer. Amen. So we don't start envying her, really. Only you. Amen. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God. What is the gift of God? Eternal life. How did it come? It's there. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. The gift of God. So there is a gift God gives to every believer. Eternal life. Praise God. Church, praise God. That man that has received the gospel, this man has eternal life. This man has the ability not to die. This man, if he will hand over his life to the Lord, I mean now that he's born again, the Lord would lead him. What can he be assured of in the leading of God? Psalms 23. What can he be assured of in the leading of God? You know, we started off in John 10 that says God is my shepherd. We now go to a very good prophetic, a very good psalm that talks about shepherding. Psalm 23. Some of us are already quoting it in our heads. Are you in 23? The Lord. Someone say, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. That's what David said here. Why? Why is this man boasting in the leading, in the shepherding of God? He says in verse 2 that he maketh me to lie down in. How does he do it? Is there? He leads me beside the. He leads me beside the. You see, he leads me beside the still waters. He's talking about, you see, still waters, peace like a river. The leading of God, the leading of God is peace for you. Praise God. How does he do it? The number one way he does it is in the next verse. He restoreth my. In the New Testament, we can say, he renews my mind. How does God lead you today? How does God lead you today? We'll come back to that point, but let's enjoy it because we're about to move away from Psalm 23. But let's enjoy Psalm 23 because people like Psalm 23. He restores my soul. Yeah? He leads me in the path of. Can God lead you to sin? Praise God. Church, praise God. Meaning that the man that we found in sin is not working in the leading of God. He disobeyed God's leading. Praise God. Church, praise God. Just like Brian Sonson said, you know what, I really didn't want to steal, you know, but I was moved by the Holy Ghost. He came upon me. You just go to the bank now and just jack that man's wallet and run away. The Lord does not lead to do evil. Praise the Lord. And that's one way you can discern. The leading of God is with love in mind, service in mind, wisdom in mind, the leading of God. He's now telling, listen, like I said to you, how do you, like how you discern the leading of God? He says the leading of God, he leads me in the path. There is a path. So the restoring my soul is how he leads you in the path. Am I too fast? He will renew your mind. In renewing your mind, he is leading you in the path of righteousness. God's leading never leads a man to sin. Amen. Right? Look at God's leading. God's leading, if you're writing this down, God's leading does not say you will not go through difficult times. And that is why it's very important the way we preach the gospel. Because we want to get a lot of people, we say, come to Jesus, he will sort all your problems out. And that's the reason why people who seem to have most of their problems sorted out don't actually think God is a big deal. Because imagine, come to Jesus, he'll make you rich. Come to Jesus, he'll do this one. What happens to the man that is already rich? Does it mean he doesn't need Jesus? What happens to the man that is sick? Does it mean that he's not sick? Does it mean he doesn't need Jesus? What is the message of the gospel? God came to give you life. John 3:16, for God so loved the world. He loved the world. God doesn't love Christians. God actually loves the world. A Christian is just that man that has received the love of God. So God is out there actually stretching forth his hand saying, take my candy. The Christian is the one that has taken it. But God's eyes, God's love is for the world. That's why we are still here today. 2 Peter 3:8-9 will say, it's not God's will that any man should perish, but that all men should come to the knowledge of the truth. That's God's will. He doesn't want evil. He doesn't want any man to perish. He wants all men to come to the knowledge of the truth. Amen. Church, amen. Right, let's go back again to Psalm 23. God does not say that because he led you, you will not go through stuff. God is just saying, what can you be assured of in God's leading? Is in verse 4. Yea, though I want you there, though I walk through the of the now this is a prophetic psalm. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of, I will fear no evil. Why? For you are with me. So the leading of God does not say we will not go through tough times. Just like Jesus will say, the reason that I am going to die is because I know you will raise me from the dead. Thou shalt not let the Holy One see corruption. That he says, if you look at John 10, he says, I have power to lay down my life. I have power to take it up again. I know you will not leave me in this death. That's why I'm going. And God raises him. It's the same thing. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, the valley of the shadow of death is a prophetic psalm about like Jesus now. Jesus is in death. He carries the sin of the world. But he said, even though you are with me, I'm going to come out of this. And so Jesus is dead. And he says, I know I'm not going to be left here. I'm coming out. It's the same thing for you today. When we go through tough times, you say, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow, I fear no evil. Why? God is with me. Someone shout, God is with me. God is with me. Amen. So the leading of God, I need to be faster because of our time. The leading of God comes with the anointing. And I know Pentecostals like anointing, so I'm using it. So that we're all clear in this local church, I'm Pentecostal, I'm charismatic, I'm Anglican, I'm Catholic, I'm Methodist. As long as I'm, you know, Catholic means universal. I'm everything. I'm everything. I'm celestial. There's no one I am not. As long as in our celestial operations with our robe, we are preaching Jesus, I am. Praise God. Yeah. So it says, look at verse 23. What made me say that? Verse 5. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemy. Thou anointed my head with oil. That anointed my... So the leading of God comes with the anointing. Let's say it that way. He anointed my head with oil, my cup runs over. The point is, it's not really about the anointing, it's about the presence. Praise God. Church, praise God. The presence of God is with me. How? He led me. Oh, how can God be with you? How can God be with you? Look at all that you are facing. Even though I walk, are you getting it? Through the valley of the shadow, I fear no evil. For God is with me. The Christian is not that man that says that God, that everything in his life is perfect. The Christian is the one that says there are good times. And in the midst of bad times, I can tell you for a fact, God is with me. I may not see, I may not feel, but I know. For the Christian, God's presence is a fact, not a feeling.
Amen. Church, amen. I'm not saying we don't feel. You know, some like just the way Sister Victoria came up and was ministering. Some people have seen, I'm feeling like, you know what I mean? Lovely stuff, right? Meaning, and if we engage in that dimension, we will see practical manifestation of the Holy Ghost because we decided to create an atmosphere. That one is there. But I'm saying if that was not there, God's leading for you is a fact. It's something you know. God is with me. I know. That's the point. Can we get someone say, God is with me? God doesn't take holidays? I do. Hallelujah. Praise God. God leads me. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for the Lord is with me. Yeah, praise God. Lord is with me. Even though I walk, even though I walk, even though I walk, God is with me. God is with me. God is with me. Mindset. Let us go into practical things that we should look at. Going back to the first point again. The easiest way to be led by God. Remember Psalm 23 verse 3. He restoreth my soul. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness. How will God lead you as a human being? He will lead you through his word. The man that wants to know God's leading should be a huge reader of the written word. Look at the book of Romans 12. We are talking about the renewal of the mind. That is how God leads. The more you renew your mind, the more you grow spiritually, the more you know God's will. Praise God. Praise God. Right? How many people know that if I look at Sister Yolanda and say, you are stupid, you are crazy, you are... How many people know that that's wrong? How did you know? Because the Bible says... I know you might say the way you were raised up. The Bible says that you should be kind, tender-hearted, using good words to edify one another. Praise God. So to know God's word, so how will I know not to do that? The more I feast on God's word, I will come across that part of the scripture that says, be kind and tender-hearted, one to another. And so when sometimes I feel like I should say, do you know you are very, very, you are very, I'll be like, oh, no. In fact, when I know better that that's not what to do, and I put it to work, the Bible says I'm growing. Praise God. Church, praise God. And you know, in our own kingdom, growth is progressive. And someone needs to help me, retrogressive. Amen. Church, amen. Meaning that you can grow forward. And you can grow. But, okay, let me say it, because the way you're looking at me. Have you seen some people who used to do some particular things based on the fact, and they don't do it anymore? Yeah, that's what we're talking about. Some other people call it backsliding. That's it. So you can grow forward. How you grow forward is renewal of mind. How you backslide or moonwalk or whatever it is, how you go back is that you don't pay attention to what you were paying attention to before, which is the written word. Amen. So in the scale of Christian reality, there is really no I'm static. My spiritual level, I've been on the same level for the last 1 year. It doesn't happen. It's like inflation. You think you're on the same level. It's the same 10 pounds, but the purchasing power is weaker. Are you getting the point? Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. All right. Romans chapter 12. There is nothing like I'm just staying like that. It's either you're growing or you're retrogressing. That's what it is. There's no middle ground. That's just the truth. Amen. Praise God. Romans chapter 12. How do I grow? I grow by feasting on God's word. So give yourself to Bible study. Plan. The man that will experience continuous growth is the man that will have a sort of kind of routine. Don't do hit and miss. Praise God. Try to be flexible, but have a routine where which you eat. You know, it's just like telling a person that, you know, if you really want to grow as a human being, you better eat. And you know we have a routine, so to speak, whether we're thinking about it or not. We have break, fast. We have lunch. We have dinner. And there are some people that have midnight.
It's also a routine. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. You say, Sister Rebecca, am I speaking your language? Okay. Yeah. Some people just 1 a.m. they just wake up. Phew, you see them by the fridge. Routine. You. The point is growth. For there to be growth, there must be intentionality. How many people know that? How many people know that? Sometimes it's a difficult one. But sometimes you eat to grow, not just because you are hungry. Yeah. Amen. Because sometimes, I don't know, some people have you ever gotten busy in your life? This might be very difficult for some people. You've gotten very busy in your life and you just woke up, you are walking, and you realize it's 2:05. You have not eaten all day. Oh, that's good. Pray to that. Ah, sad. Can that happen? Then there's a problem. Like it can happen that you forget to eat. No, it has not happened to me. But then you go and eat. In fact, if you're very mindful, you realize that when you don't eat, you feel weaker. There's a prompting that God put in your body to alert you that all is not well. It's the same thing. You know that by the fruit you shall know them. When you realize that you're just getting angry, you're just walking in the flesh, pa, pa, pa. It says that's the sign of hunger in our own kingdom. Praise God. Get into God's word so that we don't spend time with examples. Romans 12, verse 1. And I beseech you, therefore, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies. So what did he say you should present? But you would think he's really talking about your body. But he's just trying to tell you that your body is a prostitute of your mind. Whatever your mind agrees to, your body does. So the way to control your body is control your mind. That's what he's saying. So you would think he's in talking about your body. But God's interest is first in your mind. Are you getting what I'm saying? Romans 12, verse 1. We beseech you, therefore, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, set apart, acceptable unto God. This is your reasonable service. If you end there, you think God is just saying, give your body to God. How do we give our body to God? We don't know. We don't know. Just give it. That's not what he's saying. Look at verse 2. And be not conform. Don't forget what we are talking about. We are talking about the will of God. How to know the will of God. And we say to know the will of God, you will be someone that gives yourself to God's word. When you don't give yourself to God's word, you are doing harm to yourself. Praise God. This was very, very graphic for me. I share this testimony, not a testimony, story all the time. Right? When my son was younger, he was maybe 2 years old. He wanted to pick something on the window. He was struggling. He couldn't pick it. I passed by. I'm not 2. I'm not 4. You won't believe it. I'm not 15. I'm not 20. My point is I'm taller than the window where it starts off from. Do you know what I did? I just walked by and picked it up and gave it to him. And the Lord spoke to me right there. The Lord said, that is the difference in growth. When you grow, what looks like a challenge looks like something you pass by. I didn't need to struggle. I didn't even stretch. He was stretching. What was the problem? The problem with the young man is growth. It is the same thing with life. That's why we tell you, we don't read the Bible for God's sake. We read the Bible so you can grow. Read your Bible. Pray every day. Pray every day. Read your Bible, pray every day if you want to grow. Please, help me put it in the children's church slide. You should sing that song. Because that's how we learned it. It's very simple, but it's very true. We are still teaching it in adult class. Because there's a tendency that people get to be deceived to think that they can grow without God's word. And so, as a believer, if you want to grow, you will spend time in God's word and in prayer. That's how you grow. When you grow, God says you will know God's will. So, can we say growth, God's will, or God's leading is the accidental result of growing? Amen. God's leading happens to you as you grow. So, if I'm not even thinking about leading, and I put my mind on growing, will I be led? Yeah, that's what he's saying. And we're going to see from scriptures. So don't let anything in the world take your time of Bible study from you. You will be like that young Caris, struggling. And honestly, another person, and that's why sometimes it brings envy amongst people. Another person will just walk by. What you are confessing, it shall be, it shall be, it shall be. We will move, we will do. Someone just comes back and just, without, he's not even trying. He didn't even, you know, he just, phew. Amen, praise God. Church, praise God. That's it. You know, there was a time that we were in this church. I was intentional about ensuring that people minister the healing power of God. And so we raised something we called healing technicians. We had 13 of them. 13 people, healing technicians, would, and anybody with any sickness anywhere in the world. I told them, call these people. I've trained them to minister God's power. People were like, these are special people. No, I took them through training that made them grow. And now they would face cancer and say, go. I need to go. And people were like, this must be a special. No, I trained them. Every Saturday, we'll be sitting down with God's word. This is how it is. This is how I do it. I took them to back in. Life example, you were there. Took them to back in. Life example, there's someone on the wheelchair. Once you meet someone on the wheelchair, this is what you do to get a parent to stand up. I showed them all of that. That's growth. An example. And I said, man of God, in the name of Jesus, stand up. The man didn't stand up. I said, I'm going to take you now. In the name of Jesus Christ, the power of God, enter, 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 enter. Oh, yeah, stand up. And I held his hand and he stood up. They learned something. And they realized that sickness was something the resurrection has already swallowed. Then they could go out. The point is, they grew. Another person will see sickness and will say, oh, Father, do a grew thing. Do a mighty thing. Move in this place over somersault. Come and do. Come and move. Oh, God, show yourself. Glorify. Another person goes and says, out, stand now. Growth. Amen. That's why the Bible says, ye shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Hate anything that wants to take truth away from you. Praise God. Praise God. Look at it. Look at it. Look at verse 12, verse 2. Romans 12, 2. Do not be conformed. That word conform, let's go into Greek. The word conform is fashion. Don't be fashioned. How do you get fashioned into a particular thing? How do we, since Sister Ayola is the example today, let's just continue. How do you think Sister Ayola got her fashion sense? Ah, no. It will go for this example. It will go for this example. Huh? You see, the laugh of unbelief is a lot. How do you think she got her fashion sense? Whether you believe it or not, or she believes it, Ayola is a being of influence. How did she, the hairstyle she's on, whether she's doing hairstyle or not, if she comes back tomorrow with low cut, whatever she does, she's a being of influence. Everybody, even the clothes you are wearing, you didn't just say, when I was in the womb, I like Kaba. You didn't say that. No. Sadiq didn't just say, it's around 1 year old that I realized that I'll be wearing Nikaboga. You didn't say that. You saw it somewhere. You looked at it. See, in this game, it's about what you observe. You are always observing. There is nothing like you are not observing. How do you buy the car that you bought? Every decision you made, you know, the way it is right now. I think what I need in my life is an iPad. Ah, brother, you have seen someone with an iPad. Someone has pressed iPad around you. You've passed Blue Water. You've seen them showing iPads. They've shown the benefits. That's how you fashion. Before you know it, the desire for iPad, just how did it come? It came through a channel. So God is saying, what you open up to and focus on, you get fashioned into, whether you like it or not. So the Bible says, do not be fashioned, conformed to this world. How do you get conformed to this world? Just by existing. Praise God. Just by existing. Because you're in a media age. In 200 years ago, you can stay in a room and you don't have phone. You can't connect me. So, well, to a good extent, it's who you see. But now, the impact of being influenced is higher. Amen? Yeah. So it says, do not be fashioned to this world. Fashion. You know, you have a fashion designer. The point about the fashion designer is that you have a plan. Right? A mannequin with that cloth on it. Then the fashion designer brings the exact same thing, praise God, on you. Apart from nowadays that we see, what we ordered is not what we got. Outside of that, amen, praise God. But the idea of fashion, meaning observation and replication. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. Are you seeing it? But be what? Can I be transformed? Do I get transformed by saying I'll be transformed? No. Do not be transformed. Be ye transformed. The word there is where we get the word how the larva turns into a butterfly. It's a process. In our kingdom, change is a process. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing, refurbishment of your mind. Taking what is inside and bringing new things in. How do you do that? It's by the word. Hey, thank you. Finally. Hey, Brother Toby, why? You have to wait for... Hey. All right, okay. I have to preach for 49 minutes because I have a timer here until I get good preaching. This church. I label. All right, let's continue. You just watch, but I will soon say justice. You shall good preaching. All right, let's continue, please. We need to round off in the next 10 minutes tops. Look at verse 2 because I started at 49. All right, finishing at 49. All right, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you will, what is the reason for the transformation? He didn't say, so that God will be happy. That you may know. Look at it. That you may know. Look at it. That you may prove, if you are reading it in the KJV, that you may discern, that you may understand, that you may prove what is the, I want you to read it for you. What is the good and acceptable and is there something like the good, acceptable, perfect will of God? You know, it's actually one idea. The agathos, meaning good, beautiful. Eucharistos, well-pleasing. That which God wants you to do. Perfect, complete, teleos, complete will of God. So can I know what God wants me to do? Yes. How will I know? As a human being, I just keep feeding on the word. The feeding on the word is not really to say, Lord, what should I do with this? If you have a lifestyle of feeding on the word, the Bible says you will know what to do. You will be able to you just within. I see that. How will you be a person if your son is given to the prophetic ministry and you want to learn how to, you want to be able to prophesy better? Let the word of God dwell in you richly. He said, because when it does, you just stand in front of somebody. What you were reading the other time just comes to you. That's what God wants me to tell this person, right? You just see visions from what you have read before. That's how it happens. God is not telling you, feed on God's word. It makes you a better minister. Feed on God's word. It makes you a better believer. Feed on God's word. It makes you understand what to do with your life without even saying, Lord, what do I do? Why? That you may know. What is that beautiful, agathos, good, perfect will of God? So have a plan. Get into the book of Romans. Get into Thessalonians. I always tell people, thank God for memory verse. But memory verse is like taking one grain of rice. Does it fill you? It can't. You know. So in the world that we're in, we shouldn't condemn. So it's good. One verse, it's good. It's a good place to start. But please, give yourself to the word. That's the meal. Give yourself to it. Meditate on what he said. Remember, how many people here, you just take rice in and just swallow. Vim. Does it happen? So we take you for teaching, eating therapy. what do you eat? Tell me something that someone eats, you've eaten today, or you ate last week, yesterday. You have eaten. Tell me one example. Rice. Imagine you just, I've used rice. Let me give you another. And plantain. Imagine you just say, plantain. Just like, boom, 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 boom. And you're drinking water. Ta, ta, ta. Something's going to happen to you. What is meditation? It is the mastication of it. You're breaking that thing down so it can pass through. So you are thinking about it. They said, I'm led by God. They said, if I would follow the reading of God's word, I would know what to do without trying. Think about it. Are you saying, if I'm a reader of God's word, I'll be able to discern evil and bad? Yes. Okay, then I apply it. In this thing that is coming up in the family, so will I just know what to do? Yes. Like, I remember there was a time I was having an issue with my grandmother. I say it all the time. I didn't know what to do. Amen. What really happened? I think she felt I was dating who I should not date. That was really what the problem was. Amen. No, it's not paying I'm married though. Amen. She just felt, and she had a personal stake, and there was nothing I could do to appease her. I was reading God's word. Do you know I'm using very little, almost doesn't make sense example, because God can deal with little things in your life if you're interested. I'm reading God's word, and I just read in passing, a gift appeases, blah, blah, blah. And it just buy her this gift. She likes this thing. She will not believe it. She'll forget about what she's up to. I bought her that gift, and that's what happened. That's the leading of God. I'm using a very simple example, but applicable. I'm saying there is power in feasting on God's word. Can we get a believing amen? Can we get a believing amen? What is the end of this teaching? What is the mindset? What did we bring? What are we thinking of as we are talking about this teaching today? We are really trying to get the saints to leave that unrepentant state of just doing what? Of just existing. Go back. Start with the epistles. Read it through. And that's why God gives teachers and you're in a local church. If you don't understand what you have read, you should be in a local church where you can ask your cell leader. What is this? Because if I don't understand it, it doesn't profit me. Praise the Lord. Four more minutes. Praise the Lord. Another thing that will aid you, so that I can just say two things and we can close. Another thing that will aid you in you being led is being around. Someone say being around. God, it's one of God's major ways to help people in the leading of God. Being around, coming around, fellowshipping in the meeting. Let me show you from scriptures. Acts chapter 13. Acts 13. And then we close. Acts 13. I might be able to run this around. Being around, have a local church you are committed to. God will lead you through people. And like you will notice, it's people. It didn't say pastor. It's people. Can we get a believing amen? Look at Acts 13 verse 1. I want us to quickly go there. Now there was in the church. Someone say in the church. So in the church. The book of Acts is showing you, it's a historical book to tell you how the early church operated. So they went to church. Amen. Amen. And they were in the church that was at Antioch. There was your local church? Well, on Sundays, sometimes, if I'm okay, I go to the church in Streatham. Then next week, I go to the church at Antioch. There is a church that God has ordained that is yours, where you should be. Look at it there. He says, and now there was in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers. And Barnabas, so Barnabas was a pastor in that church. And Simon, called Niger, and Lucius, and Menaean, which had been brought up, he was the bestie of Herod. The king's best friend was in the local church. Amen. Are you there? Look at verse 2. What did they do in verse 2? That's why you realize that in this local church, from time to time, I ensure that everyone stands up and is ministering one way to another. Look at verse 2. And as they minister to the... Are you there? What did they do in church? They minister to the... Church, what did they do in church? They minister to the... And fasted. What happened? I want you to read it for you. The Holy Ghost said, separate unto me Paul and Barnabas for the work I have appointed them. And they prayed even further. Do you see the point there? I don't want to be funny, but let's imagine that Paul and Barnabas on that day didn't come to church. Or they are not members of a church. Somebody say, if they didn't come to church that day, they will go to say it next week. But the point is, why was it written? Are you getting it? It was written for your learning. So that you prioritize local church. So that you can, because you don't say, well, I don't want anybody to tell me anything. The point is, in the local church, you are to serve and be served. So it is, okay, let's imagine you don't want to hear anybody bless you with a word to tell you the direction of what to do, but God also wants to use you to bless other people. He says, when you come together in the church, and as they were praying together, the Holy Ghost said, You realize, no, you remember, when he says the Holy Ghost said, hope you don't think it's like they are praying. That's the way Ayola was holding somebody. And they would just hear, Ayola, my daughter. It's not that. The Holy Ghost said is a human being talking to you. Amen. Church, amen. You now, look at it, human. Look at verse 4. They will now say, and they being sent forth by the Holy, who sent them for the believers there? But when, why? God walks through men. So isolation is a trap of the enemy. And so that's why we are in the age that we are in now, the world will give you any reason not to gather, not to fellowship. Praise God. And you see many, many people, even after COVID, they don't go to church. This is missing. This is the problem. There is something in our togetherness that we cannot replicate. The church will always gather. It always will gather. It's the will of God because God has saved it, has said it as so. I will bless you. You will bless me. It is a symbiotic relationship under God. As we gather together, everyone in his own particular office, coming to be a blessing, as we minister one to another, the Holy Ghost said. So sometimes get to the point that you have faith sometimes and you say, you know what, I've been struggling with knowing exactly what to do. I'm still checking the inner witness, but I'm going to go to church. In church, I know it, I know it, I know it. Somebody's going to pick it. I know it for sure. And you come in faith in that. That's how God meets people. That's how God does. That's how God deals. That's how God fellowships with us through one another. How will God meet your need? Through the other. And so, whether you like it or not, ye have come to Mount Zion. It's the city of the living God. It is with heavenly Jerusalem. It is the assembly of people, of the saints. And we come with Christ within, the Holy Ghost. And through that apparatus, we're able to serve one another. So one of the vital ways, we've said the word of God, we'll talk about others next week. The second way that we've talked about today is that you come around. Tell your neighbor, come around. I need you. You need me. Come on, rise upon your feet. Hallelujah. Come on, rise upon your feet and just give God praise for the privilege that we have today. Everyone, where you are, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, thank you for a time in God's word. Thank you for this time that we've heard your word. I've heard today about two vital things amongst others. I would give myself to the reading of your word. I would ask questions if I don't understand it. I'm going to be committed in the local church and I'm going to show up because that's how God meets my needs. One of the very vital ways God talks to me and leads me as it relates to ministry, as it relates to this, as it relates to that. That's what I've learned today. Praise God. Father, we give you praise and we give you the glory in Jesus' mighty name. Even today, let's pray as we end in this service. I call you blessed in the name of our Lord Jesus. Your needs are met. Come on, please. I want to believe in amen. Your needs are met. Amen. You are kept by God in the name of Jesus. Your eyes are open this week to see and to know, to discern in the name of Jesus. You walk in the realms of visions in the name of our Lord Jesus. You walk in favor with God and with man in Jesus' name. Father, we give you praise. We give you the glory. In Jesus' mighty name, and the saints say, amen. All right, go to somebody and bless them, amen, as we call the service closed. God bless you richly. Go to somebody, amen. Praise God.